Return to Camp Blood, Episode 6, the one where Jason gets his mask. Welcome to another episode of Return to Camp Blood, the only podcast recorded on location at Higgins Haven. I'm your host, Chris, joined by my fellow campers, E.
Hey, what's up, people?
And Eric.
What's going on, y'all?
All right, so tonight we are finally sitting down to record part three episode. Well, actually, this would be the second time we've sat down and recorded. The last time I was a little bit too hammered and it just turned to shit quickly. So, I'm going to go ahead and put the blame on myself right up front. It was my fault. All right, so Friday the 13th Part 3 came out in 1982 and is actually the first and only Friday filmed in 3D. And I got to say, the 3D is just horrible.
It is horrible. It's more of a analgraph, not a stereograph 3D that they used, which was really cutting edge at the time. And big Hollywood producer said, if you're going to make a part three to anything in a horror genre, it has to be in 3D. And Friday the 13th Part 3 was the first of the part three 3Ds, like Jaws 3 in 3D.
Like you said, man, the effects in that movie were just, the 3D effects were just horrendous. There's no two ways about it. I mean, it's good for some laughs now in retrospect, but they're terrible.
I mean, since we have sort of at least a little bit better 3D, like going back and trying to watch that kind of 3D is just like, okay, this is just fucking terrible. Yes, there's a broomstick coming out at me. Whoa.
Absolutely horrifying shit.
I know. Well, it seems like the director use the 3D for everything but like the shit that he should have. Like, yeah, I mean, some of the kills are in 3D, but I feel like he wasted the 3D on shit like having a kid swing his baseball bat in my face
and hand you a joint.
Yeah. Yeah, the potheads. Yep. That made me laugh really hard when I saw that just because of how bad it looked.
Oh, like, yeah, it's I want a joint too.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. You're too kind.
You know, and reading some of the production notes, I guess that it was just hell working in 3D. Like several different takes were required for even the gag scenes, like the yo-yo scene or the wallet scene. And that just kept eating into production time.
Well, yeah, I mean, and those scenes to me, they were pointless and they didn't drive the story, right? You could tell they were only in there to show off the 3D.
That's it.
Basically.
That is it.
So Jenny was supposed to come back this film. And I don't know, she turned it down. I didn't really see a lot of details about like what the story may have been, except for like, you know, she comes back and tries to get revenge, you know, comes back to kill Jason. But, you know, I didn't never really see that kind of streak in her as a character. So I don't know. I'm kind of glad that the actress turned it down, Amy Steele, because I mean, it didn't seem like her, because, you know, in the second film, she's all, you know, trying to sympathize with Jason and stuff like that. I just couldn't really see her trying to come back and kill him.
Yeah, they would have been trying too hard if they had gone with that storyline. It wouldn't have come off well at all, I don't think.
I don't think it would have either.
Now, granted, this movie was made a year after part two, and so I want to just talk about the continuity between the two real quick. The first time you see Jason's silhouette, he's clean shaven, and he appears to have grew a little bit, and he bulked up all overnight. Because remember, this takes place the night after the second film.
That's not normal?
No, because if it was, I'd be a lot taller, and I'd be a lot bulkier and stuff.
I understand your pain, sir.
What was that? What was that dude that sung the song, "I Wish I Was a Little Taller"?
Oh, you're talking about We bringing up Skeelo in the podcast tonight. somebody needs to tweet him. Let him know he was mentioned.
Maybe I will, since I'm the celebrity tweeter and all that. speaking of celebrity tweeting, a while ago, Larry Zerner, the guy who played Shelley, he's now like a lawyer or something. A lawyer to entertainers or whatever. And he tweeted a meme that said, "Hey, you know, hire me. I'm the only lawyer that survived Jason." And I'm like, "No the fuck you didn't." And I fucking got a screenshot of his death scene and retweeted it to him. I'm like, "No sir, you died."
you
did he
did.
Respond? Did you get a reply?
No reply. I never do. I never get replies from these guys, but it's always funny.
He knew what the deal was.
Just to know that there's a possibility they could have seen me trolling them. You know, him and Kevin Bacon, my two favorite people connected with Friday the 13th, like a tweet.
Now, you'd mentioned earlier about how Jason grew a couple inches to 6'3", clean shaven, bald. And there's so many scenes that Steve Miner took that you could literally copy and paste over to Friday the 13th, 1980. And the makeup artist and makeup director wanted to stick with Tom Savini's original plan of how Jason was supposed to look. And Tom Savini and, Sean Cunningham never intended for a sequel to the series. They wanted Jason to remain an innocent victim in it all.
Like, I get that the people who did part three were wanting to sort of, like, go back to the original spirit of things. That's cool, but fucking this movie came out 2 years after the first one did. It's like, let's have some fucking continuity, at least with the fucking main guy. Like, please.
Agree.
So you're telling me that with the fucking machete stuck in his side, he has the presence of mind to go for a shave and let's fucking, you know, let's bick the head in the shower. And then, you know, I'm gonna go along over here to this fucking country store. And oh, look, some clothes that just happen to fit me are out on the line right now. Like, come on. Come the fuck on.
I found nothing abnormal about it at all. It all seemed to fit.
Oh, well, yeah, I know. It happens to me every Saturday night when I drink too much. In fact, the last time we recorded this episode, that's what happened.
But if you look at the barn scene, it is plainly obvious that the clothes do not fit. Richard Brooker's Jason and the olive green shirt you both know I like to cosplay Jason is at least 4 inches too short in the arms.
Fair enough. I'll give you that.
But the odd thing is whenever Chris has her flashback scene when she's talking to Rick before the Volkswagen dies, or right as the Volkswagen dies, and she talks about her first encounter with Jason, he's already wearing his new clothes, and that what on our timeline we figured what that assault would have had to have happened 2 years prior.
No, well, that's what she says. That she says it happened 2 years prior. In our timeline, well, we in the last episode, well, I'll just say this: we gave sort of like two timelines. We gave a timeline, you know, had Jason never died at all, which would have put him in his what 20s, in part two. Which is, I think, what you kind of see from the way Jason looks. He's in his early to mid-20s. Or we also said that if he actually did die and came back when his mom died, he would have been, what, 16 on part two? So,
give or take, yeah.
So even with either one of our timelines, like it could have very well happened in the time frame that she said. Although I will say, like, I don't want to get too deep into the discussion of what happened to Chris 2 years prior to part three, because that's actually going to be a part of our next quote-unquote special episode that we put out. So yeah, we're not going to talk a whole lot about that flashback scene in this episode. So, but yeah, her timeline of the event seems pretty legit. However, like the problem I have with that, and it's not even to do with what happened to her or anything like that. It has to do with Rick. Okay. Actually, the first thing that we have to say about Rick is, hey, Rick, Jason Voorhees called. He wants his fucking mom's sweater back.
Exactly.
Yo, when I realized what that was, I was like, look at this fucking guy. Look at this guy wearing this sweater in public like it's a thing to do.
Who is he to wear that sweater?
You knew better. You knew better.
Yeah. Well, that could explain why Jason, like, his was like one of the more violent deaths, and that's probably why.
Cost him an eyeball.
Didn't we get a little dose of 3D when he killed him too?
Yes.
Yeah.
They tried.
There you go.
They tried a few different effects to achieve that eyeball coming out at you, and from compressed air shooting it out, and finally, and you can actually see the string attached to it. That's how they got that effect to come towards the camera. Pull the string, eyeball comes at you.
Great work.
All right, so, like, back to Rick. Okay, I wanted to point out how much of a fucking asshole this dude is. Like, he's so assholish that I was not upset at all when he died. And this is going back to the 2 years, right? So, Chris had a problem with Jason, quote-unquote, 2 years previous to part three. She comes back. Rick runs right over. And right off the bat, he is like trying to fucking make out with her and shit. She, you know, she tells him to back the fuck off, but he tries again. And she is just taking this with a smile. Like, here's actually what he says.
I know it's only been 2 years, but I feel like I've been away forever. Doesn't look like anything's changed, though. Even the paintings are still crooked.
Well, you've certainly changed. Don't you even say hello anymore?
I'm sorry. Hello, Rick. How are you?
Well, that's a start.
Could you just slow down, please? There's a whole weekend ahead of us. Let me get to know you again. Let me get to know this place again.
Okay. There's only so many cold showers I can take.
So Chris says that she wants to spend the whole weekend, you know, sort of trying to getting, you know, to get to know him better. And then he's like, yeah, that's cool. But hey, it's been 2 seconds. Do you want to fuck me now?
that was a fucking mess.
A real mess.
In the first episode, you know, I kind of talked about how I was about feminism and gender equality and all that. And when I watched that scene, I'm just like, Chris, why are you letting him fucking act like this to you? Like, I feel like the first time he pushed her, she should have been like, yo, bitch, I'm warning you.
I mean,
one more again.
Not only that.
One more again.
But as a teenager, I mean, a month is an eternity. And 2 years, two whole years, you change completely the person that you are. 2 years as a teenager, you're a different person completely. And I mean, she
Very
does.
True.
She just says, let me spend some time getting to know you. But he has to throw it back in her face that he had another girl lined up that he gave up just for Chris.
Oh, yeah. And he has his needs, too. What a fucking asshole.
Only so many cold showers I can take.
Yeah, fuck that dude.
Something I wanted to point out is, like, when they're on the way to... I think I was corrected about this last time. What's the name of the place again?
Higgins Haven.
Yes, Higgins Haven. Excuse me, Farnsworth. Do you know the way to Higgins Haven? Anyway, I was corrected about this before, but the name of the place is Higgins Haven. So they're on the way, and they stop in the road. There's a guy laying in the middle of the road, and he gets up. And this guy has an eyeball in his hand, and he's ranting and raving about stuff. And it's really obvious who that guy is supposed to be, since we lost such a dear friend in the previous movie, in Crazy Ralph.
Wait, what's that you say?
You're going to Camp Blood, ain't you? You'll never come back again. It's got a death curse.
That was a throwback to Mr. Crazy Ralph.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. The man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah, I like, but like, what's up with the like extremely religious overtones to him finding a fucking eyeball?
I didn't quite understand. I think that might have been a gimmicky 3D effect again.
Well, yeah, we know that whole scene is pretty much so he could wave the fucking eyeball in your face.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't the same, though.
I want to talk about Larry Zerner and his character, Shelley. Now, Larry Zerner was actually, he was out in L.A. handing out flyers for a horror movie, and Steve Miner saw him, and he's like, hey, do you want to be in a horror movie? So they cast him as Shelley. Now, if I had a friend that won, you know, I'm taking him to meet a girl, his date for the weekend, and he shows up in a plastic mask and a plastic knife and tries to stab me, I'm leaving him there.
No, you turn around and punch that man square in the chest.
Absolutely.
I don't know, though. Hang on. If the three of us were heading out to fucking hang out at well, it wouldn't be any of our summer places because none of our families are that fucking rich, right? So if we had another friend, that we were going to hang out with for the weekend and one of us did that, dude, it would not be, no one would be getting pissed off.
No, but I'd probably still punch you in the chest by default.
Probably.
You know, well, no harm intended.
I'd make you buy me a beer afterwards, though.
If the mask and the knife didn't get you, then, you know, the hatchet to the head, that might peeve you a little bit.
Yeah, when I first saw that scene, I thought, oh shit, Jason done got to him.
Oh yeah.
for a couple seconds, so for just a couple seconds.
But poor Vera sitting on a boat dock, and I mean, you know, he doesn't have any scuba gear, so I don't know how he's underwater unless Jason taught him how to do that. But she's sitting there at night, legs dangling near the water, jumps up with a harpoon gun and the iconic mask.
Yes.
Grabs her leg.
Yes.
I mean, he deserved to get his throat slit after that. Period.
And
that's a he did. Bit of a harsh punishment there. Hey. But you know.
So Larry Zerner, you did not in fact survive Jason, sir.
Mr. Zerner, you did
we
not.
We all saw it. You got your fucking throat slit because you were an asshole to Vera.
I guess if there's any way he can redeem himself from that that falsehood he decided to spread is the fact that Jason got the mask from him. So, yes, you know, there's that.
Oh, and then when Jason comes back for Vera and she thinks it's Shelley, like, that is my favorite death scene. And not because it's overly gruesome or that it's in 3D, but the way Jason fucking shoots Vera and then throws down the fucking the spear gun like a G. And yes, then just does. Walks away.
Just drop the fucking mic.
Yes,
I
does.
Know, right?
I'm out. Peace.
I'm out, bitches.
My work is done here, sirs. That, I'm out.
That scene was edited, in fact, to avoid an X rating.
Really?
Yes.
What about it?
Steve Miner and the editor had to cut out quite a bit. I guess there was a lot more gore to it. And Andy's death, of course, had to be edited out a lot as well. I guess there were some good 3D scenes when he was walking on his hands and comes around a corner at the wrong time.
That was such an excellent death scene, though.
Yes, it is.
I'm of the opinion that that is by far the most horrible death in the series.
Yeah, it's one of them. And well, that's what he gets for walking on his hands like a pretentious asshole.
That is
true. Nobody does that, dick.
Yeah, they can if they're fucking built like him, asshole. But
yeah, exactly.
There is a lot of debate, and looking this episode up online and everything, there is no doubt that he got split in half at the groin. However, there is wide debate that he got halved, like at the belly button across. But
yeah, I don't see that. I see it. He Jason split him right down the middle from groin to the top of the head, dude. No question in my mind.
Yeah, they wouldn't show him still doing the handstand and then seeing Jason if that wasn't the way it was going down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I agree.
I agree completely. And whenever Debbie's laying in the hammock after their she's having a post-coital Fangoria read, which happens to be an article written by the original makeup director from Friday the 13th Part 1, Tom Savini. And her death scene is eerily familiar to one of your favorite people to troll.
Yes, Kevin Bacon's death scene.
And she looks up, and his leg, it's evident, he is split at the groin. His leg is up by his ear. And, I mean, how there's a couple drops of blood from that, I don't know. And why there, I mean, let's just face it, he got into some bowel area. And there wasn't nothing brown coming out. And to get him up where he was and no blood anywhere else, I mean, that's a damn miracle right there.
No, I know, right?
That right there is the mark of a man who is very good at his job.
Very good.
Jason is the consummate professional.
Yes, so if you have to kill a motherfucker and make it look like a serial killer did it with little to no mess, call Jason Voorhees.
Yes. Ultimate hitman.
All right. Let's get into some listener mail, sirs. All right, so when I posted that we were going to record the show back, shit, it's been like 3 years, it seems like, since we've had a delay, and I fucked up, et cetera, et cetera. A guy in Friday the 13th fans wrote, and his name's John Walsh. I wonder if he's the Unsolved Mysteries guy. No, that's Robert Stack. I'm thinking about America's Most Wanted.
Yes. You were close.
In any case... Why is Jason's name never spoken in the first film except for the pre-credit sequence? I think this one's pretty easy. All those kids at Higgins Haven, they had no idea about Jason. Like, even Chris, she may have had a run-in with him in the woods, but that doesn't mean she would have known his name.
Right.
It's not like he talks. Hey, this is Jason.
Hey. What the fuck are you guys doing?
You know, if anybody should have known anything, I mean, like around the campfire in part two when Paul says some of the locals say he's still around, and that's a paraphrase. I mean, if anybody would have known anything about Jason Voorhees, it would have been Rick. The others were driving from out of town. I mean, that was apparent. Right. And this episode was, I mean, should have been 1985. I mean, I know that the year it was released was different from that. It was actually knocked E.T. off of number one. And,
yeah, for maybe 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Somebody had to take that pretentious fucking alien off his pedestal.
No doubt. But, I mean, it's either Saturday the 14th or Sunday the 15th, after the Friday the 13th from part two. I mean, there just wouldn't have been time. There was no cell phones. Mom couldn't call.
It makes sense that, you know, nobody knows his name, because up to that point in the series, the only character to have heard his name was Alice in the first one when Mrs. Voorhees is having the conversation with her. That's where the whole his name was Jason thing comes in. She's the only character to have heard his name.
That's true. And we don't really know how Paul got to know his name. Maybe it was due to Alice and the story that she brought out of the camp with her, probably. But that doesn't mean like everybody in the fucking world knew about Jason fucking Voorhees.
Not yet.
Right.
All
right.
So we also got some feedback. Actually, our first email, our first real email, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Did
I got a lengthy email about
an email.
Email. What the email? So we got an email from Brendan, huge fan of Friday the 13th. No, I'm not doing the email in a strong bad voice.
Fair enough. I tried.
But the email was from a guy named Brendan, and he was commenting on our last episode about did Jason really drown? And I'm going to paraphrase it because he spent a lot of time working out this theory. He basically came to the conclusion that Jason ran away and that the only conclusion that Pamela and the authorities could come up with was that he drowned. Nobody, no witnesses, et cetera, et cetera. He mentions that Jason would have had major disabilities, but he doesn't elaborate a whole lot except for what Jenny said about him, what Jenny said in part two about him eating animals and whatever you could find. He brings up an interesting point, and I think it's a point that you, E, touched on in the last episode about him witnessing his mom kill all the camp counselors off.
Right.
Either during the events of part one or the time before that. And I don't know what I think about the idea that he might have run away instead of drowned. I guess it could be because as far as we know, there weren't really, well, unless you go with the Freddy versus Jason drowning, then fucking the whole camp saw him drown. But I think the general idea throughout the series, besides that, is that he kind of was off on his own and fell into the lake and fucking drowned. So, I mean, I guess this could work.
Maybe he did run away, but he's a hydrocephalic mongoloid pinhead. In normal society, that dude is going to stick out like a sore thumb. And worst case scenario, he ends up wearing a mask. I mean, unless we're around Halloween, and even then sometimes people kind of look at you strange. I mean, you would think that would stand out like a sore thumb.
Right. Yeah. I think as far as that goes, it doesn't really seem to point to him running away as much as if he didn't die. I think maybe it more or less points to him. I think I mentioned this in a previous episode that maybe he just washed up somewhere else and, you know, not really knowing what to do, just ended up out there. And that's how he came to be how he was.
All right, guys. Any final thoughts before we sign off tonight?
Yeah, I wanted to mention that it was kind of a fluke. The hockey mask thing was not planned. That was somebody was a Detroit Red Wings fan, and he had a goalie mask for a Red Wings mask, and it was just for a set shot. And Steve Miner saw it and said, "That's it," because the original mask was supposed to be an umpire mask.
That shit would have been dumb as fuck, man.
Yeah, so here's what we would have been faced with. Josh the fucking umpire, right?
Exactly. Josh the umpire.
Did we mention that in the first episode?
Yes, sir,
we did. I can't remember. Like, that might have been the one we deleted, but Jason's name was originally supposed to be Josh, blah, blah, blah.
And and I want to mention that the entire set for part three, the house, the lake, the barn, were built on the Saugus Ranch out in California.
So not even New Jersey. What the fuck?
Well, yeah. Jason? Oh, I know. No fucking doubt. I mean, geez. I mean, you'd think that they'd shoot on location. And I also want to give a big fuck you to the asshole that thought that it would be cool to start a fire in a mock fireplace at the Saugus Ranch and burn down the entire house. So now that's all that's left is the barn, as Crystal Lake had a hole in the dam and had drained dry by the time they wrapped up production. So the only thing that's left as a reminder that Friday the 13th part 3 was filmed here is the barn. And that's it.
Well, he spent most of his time in the barn anyway, so I guess it's fitting.
Yeah.
The only thing I'd, you know, really want to drag into it towards the end here is a couple things I took out of the final chase scene with Jason and Chris. Don't know why I pointed out that Jason was involved. Probably a given, but at any rate.
Could have been Paul or Rick. He's an asshole, right?
like screaming shit. I think first thing I noticed is that Jason does not like to read. He got the bookshelf dumped on him and was not pleased about it. Doesn't like books, apparently. Now, in that whole in that whole scene, it's the only time that I can recall right off the top of my head where Jason like audibly reacts to an attack from somebody, like with anybody trying to defend themselves. And I could be wrong and probably am, but right off the top of my head, that's the only time I hear it.
I think the next time he audibly reacts is the beginning of Jason Goes to Hell.
And that was just a groan of disgust knowing what movie was coming.
No,
that's all that was.
I know, right?
There's a couple. there are a couple. He audibly reacts when Chris stabs him in the knee. And but we can also touch into part four, and Jason pops through the window, grabs Tommy, his sister's hitting him in the head, Jason in the head, in the hockey mask with a hammer, and then she turns it around and whacks him in the back of the neck, and you can hear an audible reaction as well.
Fair enough. So maybe it'd be more accurate to say that's the first time you really hear it.
Yes.
So. Another part to that final chase scene when Chris locks herself in the bathroom and Jason breaks through the door, it could go, you know, you could say a lot of things about that particular scene where he smashes the hole in the door and comes through there. But I felt like it was a pretty clear homage to The Shining right there going on.
Oh, absolutely.
And it makes sense. Makes sense being that that's one of the greatest horror movies of all time, you know, speaking about The Shining.
Absolutely. I mean, people tend to undercredit this movie when it is literally homage after homage after homage.
Yeah, it was pretty excellent. I mean, barring the 3D, like, I hated 3D. I'm glad they didn't do more of them. But scene after scene, like, if you're familiar with the horror genre, you saw a little bit of a lot of different movies in part three. I mean, even it played homage to itself with the final scene and Chris is on the lake. And then instead of Jason popping up, his fucking mom does.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. I like that scene a lot too. I like that they did that.
Yes. All right. You can support the show by rating us on iTunes and Stitcher. And actually, if you want to become a patron of the show, you can find us at patreon.com/campbudpodcast, and there's like a slew of fucking reward levels that you could possibly enjoy for the show. $1 gets you, you know, your name mentioned on the show at the end, every episode, and a place on our website. And at the other extreme end, if you want to contribute like $2,000 a month to the podcast, me and Eric will personally come to your house. Me and Eric will personally come to your house to record the show. I don't think he can because he has military obligations and shit like that. So you'll just have to settle for us two and E on Skype. In any case,
plus that's not something you want anyway. So
I would absolutely forego the travel cost outweighing the cost of the donation because I believe in this podcast that much.
Me too. If you want to ask us a question or vindicate a theory you might have, you can contact the show by sending an email to campbloodpodcast@outlook.com. You can also text or leave us a voicemail at 757-637-0216. Until next time.
You're going to Camp Blood, ain't you? You'll never come back again. It's got a death curse.